This is the State of Things. I'm Anita Rao. About 1.3 million Americans serve as active duty personnel in the military. Each one of those service members carries a treasure trove of experiences. Memorable encounters with people around the world, friendships forged in unlikely circumstances, and likely some fears that they seldom share with the loved ones they leave at home. The StoryCorps Military Voices Initiative archives oral histories from members of all branches of service, and that work is usually done in person in mobile recording booths across the country. COVID-19 has changed that process. Interview partners are now able to record at home, and for the next 2 weeks, StoryCorps will be seeking those at-home recordings from North Carolina residents. With us to discuss the project is Hazel Diaz. Hazel is a Marine Corps veteran herself and the manager of StoryCorps' Military Voices Initiative. Hazel, welcome to the show.
Hi, Anita. It's nice to talk to you again.
Good to talk with you. So tell me more about the mission behind the Military Voices Initiative. It's been going on for quite some time now. Tell me about it.
The Military Voices Initiative provides a platform for veterans, service members, their families, to share their stories. In doing so, we are trying to honor their voices, amplify their experiences, and to let them know that we as a nation are really listening to their experience. The mission behind StoryCorps is to build better human connection, and we feel that the military is an important part of that story and that legacy.
In the past 8 years that the project has been recording stories, how has the collection evolved and changed?
So The Military Voices Initiative started in 2012, and it ran to about 2016. And during that time, our primary focus was post 9/11 vets. And since then, when we revamped it in 2017, we are focused more on the military experience as a whole. So we really expanded that to include service members, their family, and veterans of all ages, not just post-9/11 veterans. We're also working with organizations for underrepresented groups, including the LGBTQ community in the veteran community. Women are a big focus of our archive now. We are really trying to get those stories to be part of our archive because they are part of the military and there are stories that should be heard.
So StoryCorps is a project that many people are familiar with through the NPR edited versions of StoryCorps stories that air on Friday, but it's much more than that. It is an archive that is built and housed at the Library of Congress, and it is an opportunity for many people beyond the people that end up on the radio to dive into experiences with loved ones. But for those that do end up on the radio, it can kind of give us a good sense of what these conversations can sound like. So I want to listen to a quick clip now from an interview conducted in 2014 with Army Sergeant Paul Braun and an Iraqi interpreter, Paul and the American soldiers called Philip, when they worked with him in 2009. Let's listen.
First day that we met?
Oh, you scared me, dude. Your attitude in the beginning and with your mohawk.
I scared everybody with that mohawk.
You told me, if you try to mess with my soldier, I will shoot you.
And what did you do?
I was smiling at
you. You smiled at me and said, someday we will be able to laugh about this conversation while we're drinking tea. And that's when I knew, I think this guy will be okay. We started to trust you. And since you fought with us and you bled with us and you lived with us, you became us. And my Iraqi interpreter became my American brother.
And my American soldier became my Iraqi brother. I used to hate America. You are our enemy, and that's it. And you're the only one who changed my mind. With you, I was talking about the similarity between us as people. It's just about being human, there or here.
I remember sitting down one day thinking I didn't want to leave you alone. I knew how dangerous it was for you because we saw those people that were murdered for being interpreters. And I was so afraid that that was going to happen to you. And it took years to get the proper documents to get you over here.
And I'm lucky to make it here.
You have 3 daughters and a son and a wife.
Yep.
I'm waiting for that day that you were able to bring them over here. How do you feel about having to go back to get your family?
I'm scared, actually, because of ISIS. They control the roads, and it's dangerous.
I hate to ask you, what do you think your odds of being able to make it back alive are?
Let's make it 50-50, man.
That was Army Sergeant Paul Braun and Philip, his friend and former interpreter in Iraq, in a 2014 recording for StoryCorps Military Voices. I'm here with Hazel Diaz, manager of StoryCorps Military Voices Initiative. So Hazel, one of the many things I hear in that clip is the deep relationship between the two of them, of trust, of intimacy, of connection, and how that adds this extra layer to the stories that they're each telling. And that's something that's so unique about the StoryCorps project. And I'm wondering, for folks in the military in particular, what have you noticed about the importance of sharing your stories about your service and otherwise with people in your life, people that you have a connection with?
I think that often people in the military come home and they feel that the expectation is supposed to be for them to act like nothing has happened in their time away, whether that's being deployed or even just being in the service, you know, being gone for 4 years from your family when you come back. And it's important to really take the time to share those experiences. But like many of us, life is very busy and you have full intention of having these conversations with your family. But you just really don't find the time to sit down and do that. So I think a response very often with the military community is that people just haven't had the time to really ask people, what was that like? You know, was it hard when you got out? What is it like to go from a place where every minute of the day is pretty planned out, you know, where you know everyone around you knows the same things that you do, to coming back to being a civilian and to be normal, or to come back from combat and to hold your child for the first time in a year? You know, so these are pretty complex emotions that we it's not that we intentionally don't create the space to share those things, but we just never really set aside the time. So I think that that experience is something not only to our veterans, but also something that StoryCorps really gives people the space and the platform to do. And sometimes they don't even know that they need it. We have a lot of veterans and service members that kind of come in with their family members to do these interviews, and they reveal things that they've never really talked about. And they guess, you know, they didn't really think about how they haven't shared these experiences with their family members, and that the people that they love don't really know a lot about the things that they've done or the things that they've experienced during their time away. So it's really a beautiful thing to create the space for them to do that with people that they love.
You all have been really trying to get a diversity of kinds of stories in this archive. And I'm curious about the attempts to do that. Has it been challenging to get stories from some of the underrepresented groups in the military?
Yes, absolutely. I think that there's a few things that is challenging about this. Getting service members to share their experiences often difficult in itself, because people don't want to let anything slip that they, you know, and they want, you know, to have control over the conversation. And StoryCorps does let you do that, because you don't have to talk about anything in particular. We have people that come in and don't talk about the service at all. It's a public service, so you drive the conversation. So I think that's one misconception about StoryCorps that people have coming in, and they also think that their interviews are going to be used for broadcast. And the other thing is that only 1% of the interviews, actually quite less than 1%, are actually used for broadcasting. So that kind of fear is also like not really, you know, real, but it is something that people think, because they know StoryCorps through NPR's Morning Edition. Another thing is just reaching the populations. When people think of a veteran, they think of somebody, you know, who looks like Jake Gyllenhaal and Jarhead, and they don't really think about our women. You know what I mean? They don't think about Demi Moore in G.I. Jane, you know, and they don't think about our LGBTQ community that is very much present in the military. And those people are having a different experience in the military with their identities and the people around them, not good nor bad, just different. And they're important experiences that should be part of the representation of the military, not only in the Library of Congress and not only for StoryCorps, but basically for America. And these interviews, they're going to be archived. So 100 years from now, you know, when you have a gay soldier, a lesbian soldier, a trans soldier that is, or GI or Marine, that is looking back at these archives and looking for somebody that is having a similar experience, or wondering what that experience was 100 years ago, we want to make sure that, you know, those stories are archived and available for our future generations to know that the military didn't look like just one thing.
We have another clip from the collection that I'd love to play now. Marjorie Finlay in a conversation with her son, Nathan Williams, about Marjorie's first experience serving in the military in the 1970s. Let's listen.
There wasn't a whole lot of the physical stuff, the actual warfighting stuff that guys did. We did not fire guns. We didn't go out and do an obstacle course or anything like that. We actually had classes where they would bring in ladies that did makeup and hair, and we would practice how to dial a phone with a pencil. So I remember sitting there looking at all of us thinking, this is kind of silly. I wanted to get out there and shoot a gun. I wanted to go in the dirt, but we weren't allowed to.
What happened after you got pregnant?
You know, your dad, I needed his signature on a piece of paper to allow me to stay in. He turned around, looked at me and said, no mother of my children is going to wear combat boots. And I remember crying and begging him to sign the paper. The sergeant that was there processing said, I can't let you stay in. Your husband won't sign the permission slip.
How did that make you feel?
Kind of worthless in a way. But I always missed it. I enjoyed the military. I did. So I rejoined in September of 1993.
That was Marjorie Finlay in a StoryCorps Military Voices interview with her son, Nathan Williams, talking about what it was like to serve as a woman in the 1970s. I'm here with Hazel Diaz, manager of StoryCorps Military Voices Initiative. So Hazel, I'd love to end by talking a bit more about the interview collection and recording experience. Under normal circumstances, many people may be familiar with the Airstream trailer, this really intimate place where you go and sit down with someone across the table and record. You are still doing recordings despite it being a pandemic, but they look different. So talk about what recording remotely looks like and what opportunities North Carolinians have to be part of this process in the next couple weeks.
So, yeah, one of the great things about a signature StoryCorps interview is that you are in a small space. It's a very intimate interview. It's just you and your partner, and then the facilitator is there to help work the equipment and kind of guide the interview. And with virtual, obviously, that's not really possible because we're trying to distance ourselves from our loved ones in order to protect them. So the nice thing is that the StoryCorps team kind of jumped all hands on deck and created this beautiful virtual platform that kind of simulates that experience. So what will happen is if you go on to StoryCorps.org or even the WUNC website and sign up for an interview, our facilitator will reach out to you about a week ahead of time, and they will send you a link for a room. It's like a chat room similar to, you know, FaceTime or a Zoom call. And you'll all be there and you'll be able to see each other on video. We prefer that you use a computer for quality purposes, but you can use a smart device. And once you're in this room, you record similar to a StoryCorps interview, and the audio is then also archived into the Library of Congress and sent to the station and shared with StoryCorps if you choose. Again, this is not mandatory. It is an optional choice that you make at the end of the interview, just like the signature interviews. And the really nice thing about this is if you're in North Carolina and you have family somewhere else in Washington State, in New York City, down in Florida, you can still connect with those people and have a StoryCorps interview, where if we were doing in-person interviews, that would be much more difficult to have them travel. But now you have this opportunity to connect with people anywhere with internet access and a phone or computer. So it's quite lovely. I know that it's not what people have in mind when it comes to StoryCorps interview, but I think that this new adaptation is really, really quite a blessing, especially during a time where we have to socially distance. It's giving us an opportunity, you know, to emotionally connect. The emotional distancing doesn't have to be a part of the social distancing, thanks to StoryCorps Virtual.
So what do you want people to think about if they're hearing this and their interest is piqued? They are a service member themselves or a veteran, or they know someone. What kinds of things do you want them to think about if they want to potentially come and record?
I think for underrepresented communities and vulnerable communities, I really want them to keep in mind that there is no obligation to share their interview. Almost everyone does, because people are more nervous about it in the beginning, and after they get through it, they feel like, okay, that wasn't as bad as I thought it was. So keep in mind that you don't have to share your interview. You can record in their pseudonym. You don't have to actually share your information if you're nervous about sharing your story. And the other thing is that this is an opportunity to leave your legacy. This is an opportunity to tell your grandkids or somebody connected to you 100 years from now to look you up and hear you in real time. The full 40-minute interview is available to them on this day, and let them know what you think is important at this point in history. And when so many things are happening between COVID and protests and the trajectory of our nation is having a significant change right now, your story is important. And I think that future generations would be interested in your perspectives at this time.
You're a Marine Corps veteran yourself. I only have about a minute left, but I'm wondering if there's anything about this process that's really shaped how you think about your own military experience.
I've been working with veterans for about 10 years since I got out of the Marine Corps, and StoryCorps has been my greatest honor because I really enjoy giving them a platform to record the things that they want to talk about, not necessarily service-connected, but, you know, to see them as a person and to learn all these, you know, fun and interesting things about them outside of the service. You know, when you meet an infantryman from the Marine Corps and he tells you that, you know, he was a ballerina before his time in service, you know, and learning all these very cool things about people who are, you know, learning about their grandparents, things that they never thought of, you know, because they think of these people in one role, or their dad who served for 20 years, and they go into the booth and they learn all kinds of things about him as a person, about him as a kid, you know, that he was chubby as a kid, and that's, you know, what made him love fitness and want to join the Marine Corps and be like, you know, this very elite kind of, you know, high top fit person, and all the interesting things we kind of learn about each other and our paths that we never really sit down and talk to the people that we love about.
Hazel Diaz is a Marine Corps veteran and the manager of StoryCorps Military Voices Initiative. Hazel, thank you so much.
Thank you, Anita.
You can learn more about the StoryCorps Military Voices and schedule an interview yourself. Go to StoryCorps.org. You can also find details at our website, stateofthings.org, or at WUNC.org. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Anita Rao.